Matthew, the fifth chapter, I'm going to begin reading at verse number 17. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, Thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment, and whosoever shall say to his brother, Reka, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, Thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. Let us pray. Father, again, I thank you today for your wonderful, marvelous grace. I thank you for those who come today to this place to hear the word of God preached. I thank you for them. And Father, I again ask your power, your wisdom to be upon me as I preach. And Father, that the word of God will go forth in clarity. Lord, the people will understand and their hearts will be touched. And Father, every need of every heart will be met today. And Lord, we just ask your will be done. And thank you for allowing us to be here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. The word hell in the Bible is mentioned 53 times. It's a tremendous subject. In fact, in the New Testament, the one that usually speaks about hell is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He's the one that speaks that word over and over throughout the New Testament. We find him here in Matthew, the fifth chapter, the first recorded time when the Lord Jesus Christ spoke the word hell and spoke about it. We found that in verse number 22. If you'll notice up in verse number 20, he's talking about and trying to teach them concerning the righteousness of man and the righteousness of God. He talks about the righteousness of the Pharisees and the righteousness of the scribes, which they thought their righteousness was great righteousness. They tried to live forth a righteousness. They put it on the outside. Many times it was not on the inside with them, but they put forth an outward appearance of righteousness. And Jesus said to them, the righteousness, if a person's going to go to heaven, their righteousness is going to have to exceed the righteousness of the Pharisees and the scribes. In other words, what he was saying to all of us is, the righteousness that gets you to heaven must be above any man's righteousness that there can be. It must be the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Man alone cannot get to heaven through his own righteousness. I'd just like to stress that this morning as we begin this message. I'd like to stress that so that you'll keep that in your heart and remember something. There is not absolutely one good work that you can do that will get you to heaven. You've already blew it, and so have I. Amen? We're sinners, lost, hopelessly lost. Multitudes of people are going about today trying to live some type of decent life, thinking that God will accept their righteousness. Jesus said, no, it's going to have to exceed the righteousness of man. It's going to have to come from me. It's going to have to come from Jesus Christ. His righteousness must be imputed unto us or added unto us. So we find the word hell here, and let me say to you the truth of it is that hell is a place of eternal torment, a terrible place where souls that are damned to go there are crying out for a drop of water, just begging for a drop of water because of their torment. That's the hell of the Bible. That may not be the hell of mankind and the ones that want to teach that there is no hell and that it's not as hot as we would like or they would like it to think. But God says it's a hot hell where people are crying out for a touch of water to cool their tongue. So this morning, as we listen to this message, I just want to take a few moments and talk on the subject of hell. And the only place that we can go to learn about such a subject is the Bible, the Word of God. Man's thoughts, man's ideas really doesn't matter. It's what the Bible says, and that's what we've got to get back to, is what does the Bible say about the subject of hell? We find here the first time mentioned, as I said, we find him mentioning hell for the first time in verse number 22. If you will skip on over and let me read verse number 29, he says, "And if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee, for it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. And if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off and cast it from thee, for it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that the whole body should be cast into hell." I want you to remember the fact, we'll discuss this a little bit later, but I want you to remember he talks about the whole body being cast into a hell. You see, the Word of God teaches us that God is going to give the Christians a new body that can live for all eternity in heaven with him. What a glorious thing it's going to be. Also, we also find in the teaching, because there's going to be a body here that is cast into hell, given unto those who do not believe, that also can burn forever, be in the torments of flame forever and ever and ever. So once again, in this portion of Scripture, he mentions the subject of hell. If you'll turn over with me to chapter 10 of Matthew. Verse number 28. And he says, "Fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Just like to say something to you this morning. I don't know all of your spiritual condition. I don't know where you are completely with your relationship with Jesus Christ. And a lot of times men fear other men. They worry about what other men think. But God says the one thing we ought to do is not fear him which can only kill the body. If we had somebody that could even have the power to destroy us, could pick up a gun and shoot us, he says that's not the one you really ought to fear. He said the one you ought to really fear is the one who can destroy body and soul in hell, because the soul will live forever. And so what he's simply saying is we ought to get down to this point where we realize there is a hell, and the one you ought to fear above all other is God Almighty. We ought to fear what's going to happen in eternity, not just what's going to happen on this earth, but what's going to happen throughout all the ages of eternity. So he warns us here. Who to fear? Well, we all better fear God. He's the one that has control of all this. He has the keys of death and of hell. And so we ought to fear him above all others. In chapter 13 of the book of Matthew, verse number 40, he says, "As therefore the tares," Matthew 13, verse 40, "and therefore the tares are gathered and burned into the fire, so shall it be at the end of the world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom of things that offend and them that do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth." Now in this, once again, God's talking about the end time judgment. And he says those who have offended, those who have done iniquity, in other words, simply those who are not saved, is going to be cast into a furnace of fire. Hell is real. It's hot. It's a lake of fire. And Jesus Christ, here speaking, says there'll be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Now, folks, get this thought as we travel through these scriptures, and remember, the Word of God is true. True? It is exactly true. Everything that is said is true. Now listen to Jesus, and remember, this is Jesus Christ speaking. Amen? This is not just some man. I mean, the Word of God is many times the prophets and old speak through the Word of God, and that makes it true, because it's God's Word. But here we have the Son of God speaking about hell. And he is saying that they'll be cast at the end of time, at the judgment time, they'll be cast into a furnace of fire, and there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. In chapter 13 also, verse number 49, He says, so shall it be at the end of the world, the angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Now, folks, everything may look good at the moment. We may be doing just fine. We think, boy, everything's all right. I've got a lot of a life ahead of me. I've got a long time to live. Things are not so bad. But will you remember, at the end of life, when judgment comes, there's going to be a real judgment, and those who know not Jesus Christ as personal Savior will be cast into a furnace of fire, as the Bible says. There'll be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Now, are you getting this picture? There is a place called hell. Turn with me to the 23rd chapter of the book of Matthew, please. Verse number 30. And say, if we had been in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. Wherefore, ye be witnesses unto yourselves, that ye are the children of them which killed the prophets. Fill you up then the measure of your fathers. Ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, how can you escape the damnation of hell? And once again, he's talking to the Israelite people, the scribes, the Pharisees. If we had read verse number 29, it points them out, the scribes, the Pharisees. They was claiming, of course, that they was not with their fathers in what had been done in killing all the prophets. But he was saying to them, you're just like your fathers. You're doing exactly just like your fathers did. And he says, how are you going to escape the damnation of hell? And once again, I say to you, he mentions that word hell. He brings it and makes it very clear that there is such a place. In chapter 25, let's read there in Matthew chapter 25, verse number 41. Then shall he say, and also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was a hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered, or a thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, you did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Now, I could go over multitudes more of scriptures and the other gospels and read you portions of scripture that would give us the very same thing that Jesus Christ speaking here speaks on the subject of hell and warns about it. If you'll notice in verse 46, he calls it an everlasting punishment. It is not something that's over at death, as we'll discuss. It's not over then. It's everlasting punishment. Now get a hold of this. Please get a hold of this. This is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, speaking. You see, his whole deity is at stake here. If he says anything that is untrue, he ceases to be the Son of God. So I say to you today, we better take heed to what he's saying, because he is the Son of God. And everything he says is absolute truth. And he spoke on hell, let me say to you, more than he spoke on heaven. He spoke more about hell than he ever did about heaven. He was warning over and over and over on the subject of hell. In other words, you don't want to miss heaven, because this is the alternative. Hell is the alternative, you see. Now let me say to you, it's the business of the devil to make men believe that sin will not be punished. That's the devil's business. He may be working in your heart right now. He may be speaking to you right now, saying, yes, I suppose there is a hell, but surely I will never go there. Let me say to you, one of the greatest lies of Satan is to not believe, first of all, that there is a hell. Now, he'll spread that through false teachings, through false religions, that there is no hell. I do not know, really, personally, I could be corrected on this, but I know of no false religions that believe in hell. They go around it. They go around the subject. You see, that there really is a hell. But let me say to you, Jesus, the Son of God, teaches that there is a hell. And you need to understand that, you see. If he can get you to believe there's no hell, you have no fear about the future. So old Satan will do anything he can, first of all, to get you to believe that there's no hell. And then also there's the teaching out, and he'll do anything he can to get you to believe this teaching that hell is just simply the grave. When you die, you go into the grave, and it's all over. But oh, no, no, God taught us that it's an everlasting punishment. It is forever and forever and forever. No, the grave does not end it all. And then there's also the teaching that hell will simply just burn them up and they'll be annihilated. In other words, yes, we'll have to go to hell, but we'll just burn up and it'll all be over. But no, once again, that's contrary to the teachings of the Son of God. He said it is everlasting. It is forever. It'll be a continual burning forever and ever and ever. And then there's also the teaching that there's another chance after death. Let me say to you, there is no other chance after death. However you die, as he says in Ecclesiastes, is as the tree falleth, so shall it lie. And I say to us, as we die, so shall we lie for all eternity. There is no other chance, folks. Everybody would like to think that. There's some that teach that. There's a place you go, and maybe you then can have a chance to get everything right. But that's not Bible teaching. That's false teaching. That's unscriptural teaching. The Bible teaches that when you die, it's all over. The choice has been made. That's why preachers like myself do everything they can to try to stress to the people that listen to them, you've got to make this decision before it's too late. You have to decide now. You can't afford to wait. We preached a sermon this week, a funeral sermon of a 45-year-old man. 45 years of age. He probably didn't think he was going to die that young. And I say to you, most people do not think that they're going to die that young, but there's people dying of all ages. Little babies die, young children die, teenagers die, people in their 20s and 30s and 40s and 50s die. I'm saying to you, folks, you don't know when you're going to die. But the main thing is you need to get ready to meet your God, you see. And there's not a chance after you die. You must get ready before you die. So don't believe the old devil's lies about those matters, you see. Another thing that Satan would like you to believe is simply this, that God is too good to send anybody to hell. Let me say to you, God is not the one sending them to hell. The person who refuses Jesus Christ as their personal Savior are sending them own selves to hell because of sin. And God, in all of His goodness, must send a person to hell, must allow that person to go to hell because of His Word. Sin will never be in heaven, you see, and it must be taken care of. That's why you and I as sinners can go to heaven, because Jesus has taken care of our sin. And if we've accepted Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, He has washed us and cleansed us from our sin. So one of the great concerns is that we do not believe the lie of the devil. And he's got plenty of them. He'll do anything he can to convince you today, if you're not saved, to put it off another day. He'll do anything he can to you to try to get you to put it off another week. Well, I got to think about this. No, you don't need to think about it. What you need to do is get saved. You need to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior today, because you don't know what's going to happen this next week. You need to be ready to meet the Lord. And of course, we know that hell is a literal place of torment. Hell is not simply a grave that you go to. Oh, no, no. And there is no in-between place. You see, the Bible tells us over in the book of Luke, and if you'll read that portion of Scripture in the book of Luke, you'll find that the rich man died and opened up his eyes in hell. It was immediate. He didn't die and go to another place. No, he opened up his eyes in hell. And just for the other side of it, I like that too. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. As when you die, if you know Christ is your Savior, you open up your eyes and being with the Lord in heaven. What a marvelous, wonderful thing, you see. I like that side better than the other. But just let me say to you, there is no in-between place. The rich man died and opened up his eyes in hell, being in torment, immediately being in torment. That's why it's so scary. Sometimes we stand around on funerals and we look at that individual and we say, well, at least it's over for them. They don't have to worry about anything. It's over for them if they knew Christ. But if they knew not Christ, it's just begun a whole eternity of torment forever and ever and ever. I was speaking with somebody here the other day. Oh, I think maybe our young people in our school had to do a 2-minute sermon. I was Jesse Hansen's visual. I can't see Jesse here, but she's hiding somewhere. Where's Jesse at? Where's she at? Lift up your hand. There she is, Jesse. I was her visual, and she's getting embarrassed. And I had to preach a 2-minute sermon for Jesse back there, and it was on heaven. And we preached a 2-minute sermon about heaven. One of the things, though, I was just simply saying, I do not understand how people want to go through this life and all the torment and the hurt and the trials and heartaches of this life and then open their eyes up in hell. Die and open their eyes up in hell. Let me tell you something, folks. This life is not always fun, is it? There's probably not a person out here that's got some kind of heartache, maybe on your heart right now, something you're concerned about. Some of you live in heartaches most of your life. Wouldn't it be a terrible thing to die and open up your eyes in hell, being in torment, and knowing that there'd be never no chance of ever getting out whatsoever? Oh, what a tragedy. And I just simply say to you, there's no in-between place. You see, grave is not the end of this thing. I'm simply saying there's an eternity, and hell is a place of suffering forever and ever. The rich man opened up his eyes in hell, being in torment. You see, and he was tormented of these flames, and he was begging for Lazarus to come and take a little water and cool his tongue with a drop of water. You talk about torment. And that was the man who just dropped into hell, and let me say to you, he's still there. He's still there burning, still there, will be throughout all the ages of eternity. The Bible teaches us, and of course I read this verse once, but let me read it to you again in Matthew 10, verse 28, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. You see, physical bodies will be in hell. Those unbelievers will be given a body that will be able to take the torments of hell forever and ever and ever. A body will be in hell. As I told you earlier, of course, the other is true too. We'll be given a body that will last for all eternity to be in heaven with him forever and ever. But physical bodies are going to go to hell. We'll look at it in a few minutes. But they're actually the beast and the false prophet is taken and cast into the lake of fire. See, a body, physical bodies, will be in hell. So I say to you, there is a literal fire in hell, you see. The rich man cried out, he was in torment in this flame, he said. I'm saying to you, don't take that lightly. Please don't take that lightly. Please don't just pass that over as though it's nothing. No, it is something. And let me say to you, folks, you've got to understand that hell is real. It's hot. It's forever, and if you die without Christ, you'll spend all eternity in that place. What a terrible thing. You see, the words in the Bible that are used in the Bible concerning hell are words such as everlasting, eternal, forever and ever. You see, it's no ending to it, and no hope of ever getting out. Don't you live for hope today? Some of you are going through hard times right now. And you hope it'll get better. And there's a chance it'll get better down here. In hell, there's no hope. None whatsoever. You'll know in the ages of eternity, there's no chance of ever getting out of hell. There's no hope whatsoever of getting out of hell. Why? Because it's everlasting. It's forever. It's forever and ever. It's eternal. Those are the words that God uses when he talks about hell. In fact, over in the book of Revelation, let me just turn there real quickly, the 19th chapter, first of all, and I'll give you a demonstration and a proof here that those that are sent to hell are still there. Here we have an illustration of 1,000 years, and they're still there. And we find it in Revelation 19, verse number 20. It says, and the beast was taken,
and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone." This is at the end of the tribulation period. We don't have time to expound that and develop that. But if you're familiar with your Bibles, you're familiar with the fact that there's a tribulation period, and the beast and the false prophet are going to be the big shots during that time, and they're going to help rule during the 7 years of tribulation. But it says at the end of the tribulation, they're going to be taken and cast into the lake of fire. It even says here, alive, just cast in to the lake of fire. Okay, now over in chapter 20, verse number 10, let's see what it says. Now we find Satan here getting ready to be cast into the lake of fire forever and ever. And he says in verse 10, "And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever." You know, it makes mention, and if you know your Bible, if you read the Bible there, there's 1,000 years difference between the first verse I read to you, where they were cast into the lake of fire, and 1,000 years difference at least, by the time Satan is cast into the lake of fire, and it says the beast and the false prophet, where they are. In other words, they're still there, burning all that time. And if you notice, he says, "and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever." Folks, did you hear what he said? Day and night. No, there's no rest. Right. You know, they won't go to bed of a night and say, "Boy, I'm going to get some rest so I can face another day tomorrow in hell." No, no, no. It's day and night. It's forever. It's continuous. It's eternal. Amen? Well, that's serious. And if you notice, he said they'll be tormented day and night forever and ever. You see, it just goes on and goes on and goes on, and it never, ever, ever stops. What a terrible thing. What a tragedy. All right, what's the cause of hell, Brother Ross? Why is there a hell? It's because of sin. Sin entered in the Garden of Eden. And because of that sin, it's been passed, death and sin has been passed on down the lineage ever since then. Every person is a sinner. Now you say, "Brother Ross, I'm not too bad of a folk." I used to think the same thing until I got God's view of me. You see, all of us can sit around and try to pick the good things maybe that we would look at and say, "We're just not too bad of folk." Well, that's all right from man's standpoint. But when God looks at us, he says, "There is no righteousness in us whatsoever, and the righteousness that we do have is as filthy rags to him." I said filthy rags to God. You see, God is saying his view of us is we are sinners. Now, I just want to kind of point out, yes, that means me, but that means you too. I don't care who you are in this room, that means you. God's view of you is you are a sinner. And if you never come to that place where you understand that you are a sinner in God's eyes, you're never going to get saved. You're going to have to understand that the way God looks at you and sees you is as a dirty, rotten, no-count sinner. Why? Because you're filth. You're a sinner. Yes, God says that for all of us. But there's hope. There's hope in Christ. Jesus came to die and to wash away that sin. He paid the cost for you and for I. Wonderful truth. You see, God wants you to be saved, but you've got to understand that you're a sinner, you see. Some people say, you know, God wouldn't send any of his children to hell, and that's true. It's not his children he sends to hell. It's the devil's children. You see, "Well, I'm not one of the devil's children." Yes, you are if you're not God's child. You can't be both. And how do you get to be God's child? Well, you must receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You must cry out to Christ and ask him to save you and give you eternal life and wash your sins away, and then you become his child. But right now, you're the devil's child if you do not know Jesus Christ as personal Savior. I'm sorry to have to tell you that, but it's the truth of the Scripture. The Bible speaks of it in John 8:44. He talks about that, says Satan is the devil of lies. And he said, and he told them, the scribes and the Pharisees at that time, that the Satan was their father. And I say to you, folks, if we don't know Christ, we belong to the devil. You see, he's got us deceived, you see. So we must know Christ, you see. Sin is the cause of hell. That's the reason God had to make such a place, was because of sin. And let me say to you, this world has enough suffering because of sin. Folks, my heart grieves today, and I see people suffering, and they are suffering.
I see people going through horrible times. Some of it is unnecessary, but some of it is just because of life, and it's horrible times, and they still won't turn to Christ. There's horrible sufferings on this world. One of the things that causes more suffering than anything else is alcoholism. I mean, that's causes suffering from the very little child up through the very one that's doing it. Just terrible, terrible suffering. And it's unnecessary. But I say to you, there's suffering, yes, there's suffering all over this world. But think about it, folks. Think about it. A suffering that will never end. And that's what's going to happen to those who refuse to receive Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, you see. Sin's going to continue right on in through eternity. Did you know that? See, sometimes what we think of is people down in hell crying out, repenting, asking for forgiveness. When you read the subject in 16th chapter of Luke, when you read about the man, the rich man that went to hell, you'd never find him crying out in repentance. Never once. He's not repenting for what he did. He's crying out because of his pain. He's crying out because he wished some others would not have to come where he's at. But he doesn't cry out for personal repentance for what he was. Sin's going to continue right on through into eternity. See, he uttered no word whatsoever of sorrow for his sin. We have to be very careful. So sometimes we preachers, or I don't do this, but sometimes I've heard preachers painting a picture of hell and showing people in hell crying out for forgiveness and asking God for forgiveness, but you don't find that in the Scripture. In fact, go over with me to the book of Revelation again. Let me show you something. He says, but the fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, whoremongers, sorcerers, adulterers, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Folks, I'd like to appeal to you. Do you want to live in that neighborhood for eternity? Do you want to live with that type of people for all eternity? You remember who already we've read about was there? There's the beast and the false prophet, and Satan himself is going to be there. And all of these that I have just mentioned are going to be there. Do you want to spend an eternity with that kind of folk? Imagine what it is even living on this earth in the wrong kind of neighborhood where there's people who are just don't have any scruples about them, don't have any morals about them. That would be bad enough. But can you imagine spending all eternity in a place with this kind of people? And that's what it's going to be. You see, they don't get better in hell. They don't repent in hell, and they're not better people in hell. They're still what they were when they fell and cast into a lake of fire. So I'm simply saying to you, folks, we've got to get an understanding. We've just got to get a hold of that understanding that this thing is serious, it's forever, it's true, it's hot, it's an everlasting thing. We've got to get an understanding of the fact that we don't want to go there. And there's only one way out. I want you to read over with me in chapter 21 of Revelation. I'm going to read verse 4. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, and neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. The things that are not going to be in hell, in heaven, is a wonderful thing. Did you know, you may cry a lot here, folks, but them tears will be wiped away. You know, you'll never have to even think about death in eternity. I told the young people there'll be no mortuaries, be no funeral homes. Pastor Ross will never have to preach another funeral in heaven. There'll be none. Bible tells us also that there'll be no sorrow. How many of you right now are just sorrowing? Just got a sorrowing heart over something that's in your life, something's happened. And you're just sorrowing this morning. Did you know in heaven, the word won't even be known? There'll be no sorrowing in heaven. Did you know there'll be any pain? I think probably he's talking about not just physical pain. I think he's probably talking about mental pain, all kinds of things that we feel. Did you know there'll be none of that in heaven? Amen. Can you imagine the opposite of what's going to be in hell? All the pain and all the crying, all the weeping, all the sorrow, death on a daily basis, because it's called the second death, will be with them for out all eternity. I simply say to you folks, let me appeal to you from a preacher's heart in behalf of my wonderful Lord. Please, please don't go to hell. And there's only one way out. You say, Brother Ross, I know I'll join your church. That won't do it. I know I'll go get baptized. No, that won't do it. I know I'll treat my neighbor good. No, that won't do it either. No, none of those things will do it. You must come to the place where you understand you're lost, just like God said you was, and that you need Jesus Christ, the only one that can forgive you of your sins and wash you from all of your sins. He is the only one can do it. There is no other way to heaven. You see, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. You see, He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. There's no other way. You cannot get to heaven by your own good works. So I say to you this morning, will you please search your heart? Ask yourself this question. Please ask yourself this question. If I died right now, do I know for sure that I'd go to heaven? Do you know that for sure if you died right this moment? And well, you could. Well, could I? Would you go to heaven? Do you know that you'd go to heaven? So I remember when I joined it. No, I didn't say that. I said, do you know you're born again? Do you know you've received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and He saved you and given you everlasting life? You say, Brother Ross, I don't know that. I've got wonderful news for you. You can this morning. The invitation I'm going to give in just a moment, we're going to invite you to come and walk down this aisle. There'll be people standing right here to receive you and help you and take you with through the Bible and show you how you can be saved. It is very simple, but it has to come from your heart to want to and to desire to. It has to come from you. God will not make you, but God wants you to be saved. Sometimes it's pride. We just can't force ourselves to do something like that. Pride won't let us do it. Oh, folks, listen. Let me tell you something. Hell's not worth that. You're going to spend eternity in hell because of that pride. You understand what I'm saying? Don't let anything stop you. Just come and receive Christ this morning as your personal Savior. Okay? Let's pray. Father, I thank you again today for the marvelous, wonderful grace of God. And I pray that you take this simple message and use it to thy glory. And Father, help convict us of the truth of hell and how real it is. And it's forever and it's hot. And I pray if those here today without Jesus, Lord, please convict their hearts and help them to understand they need to get saved this morning before they leave this place. And I pray, Lord, you do that. We'll give you the honor, the glory, and the praise for it all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.